So there are a lot of people in the room this morning, I know, that are appropriately waiting until after Thanksgiving to put up their Christmas trees around their home. Just want to say thank you. Obviously, I was not able to control our staff there. They got to jump on it, and they set stuff up just a little early. And they're not the only ones. Pulling into the driveway a couple weeks ago, neighbors had lights up. I don't know if we'd even had Halloween yet. And one of my kids is sitting in the front seat, and he's just quiet, and he's looking at the lights, and he's very contemplative and with wisdom far beyond his years. He said, "Dad, it's just a little bit earlier for this stuff, isn't it?" I said, "It is. It is." And listen, my neighbors aren't the only ones. Many of you are early, right? Your trees are up, your house is decorated, the Christmas music is on, you've been watching Hallmark movies for a month now. Listen, if that's you, I just want to encourage you, slow down a little bit, right? Slow down. There's no rush here. Do not overlook Thanksgiving. You can't skip Thanksgiving. You know why? Because the Bible says so, right? God's word has a lot to say about Thanksgiving, and we're going to zero in on one specific verse, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 18. If you've got your Bible, go ahead and open with me there. And as you're turning, know that I'm just kidding. You can put your tree up whenever you want. You can leave it up year-round. Doesn't bother me a bit at all. But as we head into Thanksgiving week, I just want to make sure that our hearts are appropriately focused on Thanksgiving, right, for all that God is and all that God does in our hearts. And not just this Thursday, right, but every day. And we're going to see that that's God's ultimate will for our lives. Look at 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 18. It says this: "In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God for you in Christ Jesus." One more time: "In everything give thanks. This is the will of God for you in Christ Jesus." Now, this is found in 1 Thessalonians. It's a letter that was written from Paul to the church in Thessalonike. Now, Paul, if you know a little bit about your Bible, Paul was an apostle of Jesus. He's there in the New Testament. He's a missionary. He's a church planter. He wrote a lot of the books that we read. Darrell just quoted from 1 Corinthians. Paul wrote that one too. Right? He wrote a lot of these letters to the churches there. Well, on one of his missionary journeys, Paul walks into the city of Thessalonike. They had not yet heard the gospel. And so he tells them about Jesus, the good news of Jesus, that by placing our faith and trust in him, our sins can be forgiven, we can become children of God with the promise of heaven and eternal life. So Paul shares this news in that city, and many of them place their faith and trust in Christ for salvation. And so as they do, this local church family is born there, and those believers begin to gather together like we're doing. They gather together for worship. They gather together for the studying of the Word of God. They gather together to pray for one another, to encourage one another. They were a family of believers, just like we together are a church family of believers. Paul, though, didn't get to spend as much time as he wanted with that family. There was Jewish opposition to the gospel of Jesus in Thessalonike, and they ran Paul out of town. Right? If they'd had it their way, they would have killed him and not let him leave town, but he was able to escape, and because he had to leave before he wanted to, he still wanted to teach them, and so he wrote letters back to them. We have 1 and 2 Thessalonians, their letters from Paul to the church, continuing his teaching there. He talks about the heart of a believer, what it should look like, how we should respond to God, how we should respond to one another as fellow Christians. And as we get to this verse this morning, he's in a series of 8 commands that are directed at our personal relationship with God. And all of the commands that we find here in this series are written in the present tense, which means Paul is calling for these commands to be continuous actions in our lives, right? Just the constant position of our life, the constant position of our heart. They're written in the present tense, meaning we don't decide to live out this command for a little while and then turn it off to rest and do something else. It means that we don't live out this command on Sunday and maybe a little carryover into Monday and then Tuesday through Saturday do something else. That's not it at all, right? We're supposed to consistently live out His word, these commands. It's supposed to be part of our lives. And within that series of present tense commands, we get our verse. Look at it again. "In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God for you in Christ Jesus." If you're taking notes, our first point this morning flows right from there. Thanksgiving is God's will for us, right? Thanksgiving is God's will for your life. Meaning, if you're a Christian, You should be known for gratitude, right? You should be known for thanksgiving in your life, in your heart. It should be overflow. You should be the person that's always appreciative, always thankful. You're writing the thank you notes. People should know that you are grateful for what you have, for what's going on. You're grateful for the people that are in your life. One of my favorite quotes about gratitude, about thanksgiving, is from pastor author John Piper. Listen to what he says. He says, grumbling is the accent of hell. Gratitude is the accent of heaven. Think about that. Grumbling, whining, entitlement, complaining. That's from the devil. But a thankful heart and gratitude, that flows from a relationship with Jesus. That's the accent of heaven. So our words, our speech, it should just be overflowing with thanksgiving. Look at the verse. That's the will of God for us in Christ Jesus. It's thanksgiving, giving thanks. And you might be wondering, okay, when Paul says that's the will of God for our lives, what exactly does he mean? And it's a great question. It's a fair question to ask. And let me just say this really quickly. As you're reading the Bible and you have questions like that, write the questions down. If you're in a life group class, if you're in a worship service, if you're in a Bible study, if you're reading a devotional in the morning and you come across something that makes you think, what is that? Or what exactly are we talking about here? Write the question down, right? It's one of the best ways to really learn and study your Bible. Write the question down and then go find the answer, right? Ask a life group teacher. Ask me. Ask somebody in your life group class. Get a commentary out. Do the work to learn what God's word is calling you to. And as you do the work and really learn and dig in, that's when God's word is going to apply to your heart, to your life, and you're really going to begin to grasp and understand it. So Paul says that's God's will for our lives. What does it mean? We need to understand what he means by will of God. And that's this. The will of God. It's God's moral plan for people. It should be known and lived out. God's moral plan for people, we should know it, and then we should do it. And here's the beautiful part. We can know it. We don't have to guess and wonder what God wants us to do. Have you ever had someone in your life that wouldn't just tell you what they wanted? Right? You're always finding yourself guessing to see if it's right or wrong. Right? A really simple illustration, driving down the car, honey, where do you want to go for dinner tonight? Oh, I don't know. You got to guess. Right? And see if it works. Maybe you've had a boss at some point in your life. It didn't matter what you did, you couldn't make them happy. It didn't matter what goals you hit, what metrics you hit. It didn't matter what you were doing in the office. You'd think, finally, I hit a home run, and they're going to appreciate this. And again, right, they're complaining, and they're not satisfied. Well, when there's people in our life like that, what do? How about you? The temptation for me is, if I'm having to guess, and I'm never guessing right, I stop guessing. Right? I stop trying. Well, it's not like that with the will of God in our life. He tells us how to live very explicitly in a way that brings glory and honor to him. And he tells us as much. Romans 12:2, right? Don't be conformed to this world. Right? That's our permission to be different, right? We should be different from the world around us. Don't be like the world around us. Instead, look what it says. Be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good, what is acceptable, and what is perfect. So fill your mind by reading the Word of God, renew your mind by reading the Word of God, and when you do, you're going to see and know what God's will for your life is. In other words, how you're supposed to live your life. And we come across that here. We're reading the Word of God, 1 Thessalonians, we get to chapter 5, and we see part of God's will for our lives, it's thanksgiving. It's to give thanks. Now, what does it mean to give thanks? If you look up thanks, right, dictionary.com, thanks is defined as an expression of gratitude. Now, want to be a good student? Trying to teach my boys to be good students, so let's get it right. Let's look up gratitude. What is gratitude? Gratitude is the feeling of being thankful. Now, look at that. Thanksgiving is defined by gratitude, and gratitude is defined by thanksgiving. That doesn't really help us too much there, does it? Lucky for us, both of them have appreciation as a top synonym. So we can look that up and see that it's a recognition and enjoyment of the good of someone or something. Let's lean into that. When we give thanks, here's what we're doing. We're recognizing and enjoying the goodness of God in all things. That's our definition of thanksgiving heading into this week. Recognizing and enjoying the goodness of God in all things. That's godly thanksgiving. That's biblical thanksgiving. Recognizing and enjoying the goodness of God in all things. Listen, a lot of families have this tradition. They sit around the table All the food's there, the turkey or the ham. It's up to me, we just eat steak, but it's all there at the table. And people go around the circle and they say what they're thankful for from the past year, right? You've heard it. You hear people, it's a good habit. If your family doesn't do it this year. And just talk about it, but don't just do it on Thanksgiving. Do it throughout the year, right? It's a good way to remind us to have thankful hearts, to enjoy the goodness of God in all things. So as you do it this year, here's what you're going to hear. You're going to hear people say, I'm thankful for my family. And they're going to list out the way that family has been for them over the course of this year. You're going to hear some people say that they're thankful for their friends and the way that friends have stuck by them, stuck with them, encouraged them, and pushed them to grow in their faith and support. You're going to hear that. You're going to hear people talk about being thankful for their health. Absolutely. You're going to hear people that have looked around and they've just sort of taken an inventory of their life, just saying, hey, I'm thankful for the physical blessings and provisions that God has entrusted to me, right? They're just going to look around and be grateful for that. You're going to hear some people, I'm sure, people in this room are going to look around and they're saying, I'm thankful that the Aggies are 11-0 for the first time since 1992. People are going to say that, and they should say that, right? We've got a lot. I'm going to say that, maybe not you, right? We've got a lot to be thankful for. We should be thankful, right? Look at the verse. That is part of God's will for our lives, that we are recognizing and enjoying His goodness in all things. Sometimes I miss it, though. If you're honest, I bet sometimes you'd say you miss it, too. And rather than thanking God for what He's blessed us with, we can head into these moments where we focus on what we don't have, where we can begin comparing our life and what God has entrusted to us with someone else's life and what God has entrusted to them. That's one of the big problems in the social media age, right? We get to look at what other people have, what other people are doing, what other people's holiday season looks like. And rather than expressing thanksgiving to God for our own lives and scenarios, we began wishing we had what we don't have, right? We become covetous and we become bitter. Listen, I just want to encourage you, guard your heart there. I'm sure you've heard the phrase that comparison is the thief of joy. Absolutely right. Absolutely right. But in our context this morning, we could say comparison is the thief of thanksgiving. And it's not a new struggle. It's been a struggle since man was created. It's how sin entered the world, isn't it? Think about Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden. Think about the setup that Adam and Eve had in the Garden of Eden. Right? They enjoy the presence of God. Right, you can read Genesis 1, 2, and 3. No, that they walked with God in the cool of the day in the garden. God gave them the garden. God said, fill it. He said, hey, listen, all of this is yours. You got it all. It's right here at your fingertips. And rather than enjoying and recognizing the goodness of God in all things, what did they focus on? The one thing they didn't have. They focused on the one thing they didn't have. And when they focused on what they didn't have, what did they do? They desired what they didn't have. And the rest of that story is history. You know how it ends. Understand this morning that the enemy will always try to get you to focus on the fruit that you do not have, because that'll keep you from having a thankful heart. Be grateful for what God has gifted and entrusted to you. That kind of gratitude, it turns what you have into enough. Thanksgiving is God's will for us. So, in everything, give thanks. Truly, recognize His goodness in all things. Let thanksgiving be an expression of worship before God, and know that thanksgiving as an act of worship, it's countercultural for us. It's different than the world around us. Their Thanksgiving tables might be a little bit different if they don't know Jesus. And I'm just telling you, it was countercultural in the first century as well. When Paul wrote this, thanksgiving, it was not an expression of worship, recognizing the goodness of God. No. Right? Offering sacrifices to God as an expression of thanksgiving, it was frequent and it was expected in ancient religions, but it wasn't an act of worship where they were seeking the face of their God. They were seeking the hand of their God. It was a purely transactional moment, in those ancient religions. It was about trying to get more from God and not about enjoying God. Paul tells believers, he says, listen, that's not how it should be with us. Not at all. When we give thanks, we're not seeking the hand, we are seeking His face. thanksgiving, recognizing and enjoying his goodness. It draws us closer to him. And as we draw close to him, we're going to know him more and more and more, and we won't be able to help but recognize and enjoy his goodness in all things. We'll become overwhelmed by it. And that thanksgiving will mark our hearts as believers. That's God's will for us. How do we know? It says it right here in 1 Thessalonians 5. We read it in Ephesians 4:20 as well. Always giving thanks for all things in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to the glory of God our Father. Colossians 4:2 says, devote yourselves to prayer, keeping alert in it with an attitude of thanksgiving. I could go on and on and on, but the point is this: develop a thankful heart by recognizing and enjoying the goodness of God. This is a choice that you have to make, right? To be obedient to the will of God. We live in an entitled world, don't we? Where people think that they think they should have everything. People think that it should just be given to them. And I'm telling you, entitlement makes people grumpy. If you've been around people that you would describe as really entitled, you probably also describe them as really grumpy. Make the choice to be thankful, to be grateful. Some of the most joy-filled people in your life are people that are living with an attitude of thanksgiving day in and day out. It's because they're focused on the big picture. As you head into Thanksgiving week, I want to encourage you, use the Word of God to drive your expressions of thanksgiving. I've got a list of verses here, and I want to encourage you either write them all down really quickly or just take a picture of this. And you, picture's going to be easier, let's be honest, right? Use this to drive your Thanksgiving week. Use this to drive prayer. This can be just private prayer that you do. This can be you as a couple. It can be you with your children. If you have children and that are at home with you, I'd really encourage you to do this with them. Let these verses drive your Thanksgiving, right? If Thanksgiving is recognizing and enjoying the goodness of God in all things, we can look at this list and know that God has been very, very good to us. God, I'm thankful that you created me, that you sent Jesus for me. I'm thankful for your forgiveness, for your faithfulness. I'm thankful that you brought me into your family. You made me your child. I'm thankful that you're always with me. I'm thankful for the promise of heaven and eternal life. When we let the Word of God, right, that the goodness of God right there drive our expressions of thanksgiving, it brings our eyes up to our Heavenly Father. And as our eyes are up, off of the circumstances of the day, you know what's happening? We're looking at the big picture, and we're realizing, beyond the shadow of a doubt, that our present circumstances don't determine God's goodness in our lives. Which leads to our second point, if you're taking notes. Thanksgiving is not determined by our present circumstances. What determines our thanksgiving? Back to the verse. The will of God determines our thanksgiving, right? My expression of gratitude and thankfulness before God, it's not riding on the roller coaster of emotions that are based on the ups and downs of this life, right? That's not God's will for my life. No, His will is that in my heart I would continually recognize and enjoy His goodness, giving thanks to Him for it. And that doesn't change in my life when life gets tough. Paul was being persecuted when he wrote this, remember? There's people tracking him down that they're trying to kill him. They ran him out of town. And they didn't leave the Christians in Thessaloniki alone either. They went after the believers that were there. They were persecuted for their faith in Christ. So listen, Paul's writing from a place of persecution to believers that are being persecuted. This letter is not written from comfort to people that are in comfort, not at all. And the command is still to give thanks. Look at the verse. In everything, give thanks. In everything, not for everything. There's a difference there, right? It's subtle, but it's there. Just one word changes a lot. In everything, not for everything. It confirms that our present situation or that our current life circumstances do not drive the level of thanks that we have to God in our hearts. We're friends here. This is a safe place. You can admit it if you thought this way. But there's a good chance that when you read the verse, or when it was first on the screen this morning, you saw the phrase, in everything, give thanks. And immediately you thought about the challenges or the struggles that you're facing right now, and you pushed back a little bit. You thought, even in that I give thanks? You thought, even in my sickness I give thanks? Even in the loss of a loved one, I give thanks. Even in my financial hardship, I give thanks. Even in my upcoming divorce, I give thanks. He thought, even in the loneliness that I know I'm going to face this holiday season, even in that, I'm supposed to give thanks. If you thought that's just how a lot of our minds work, right? When we read something and we begin to apply it to our circumstances, and that's good. We need to look at the Word of God and wrestle through it with where we are in this life. But we need to understand that at the end of the day, God's Word is right and true, and we need to lean into it. Look at how this works. Paul doesn't say for everything we give thanks. He says in everything we give thanks. So as we walk into those seasons, we're not thanking God for those hard times. No, we are thanking God, and we are recognizing His goodness and His presence and His faithfulness even in the midst of those hard times. There's a difference there. We have good friends right now that are walking through a very serious and scary situation in their lives. Their dad collapsed. He had a heart attack. They've been praying all week long that he would just wake up. People all over the U.S. are joined in with them praying that he would just wake up. And even in that they know the will of God for their lives and they are living it out. Reading what they're writing, what they're posting, what they're sharing with friends and family, that they're expressing thanksgiving, not for what's going on, they're expressing thanksgiving even in what's going on. Thanksgiving for the one that found them and started CPR. Thanksgiving for the doctors and nurses that have been so kind and gracious and that have worked so hard. Thanksgiving for friends and family, for their notes and their prayers from around the country. Thanksgiving for the financial assistance from their church family and other friends. Thanksgiving for the meals that have come through. Right, it's that thanksgiving to God, right? That heart before Him, recognizing and enjoying His goodness, that gives them that peace that's going to carry them through. They're giving thanks even in one of their darkest hours, and no doubt it is keeping their hearts close to Jesus, allowing them to experience His presence and His peace in the midst of their storm. And listen, right here, that they're still waiting. They're still praying. They're still thanking God that He is with them in all things, that they know that He is at work. So this morning, no matter what you're walking through, I want to encourage you, recognize the goodness of God. His goodness never changes. It doesn't change with the circumstances of our days. And this happens as we keep our eyes on the big picture. I gave you some homework earlier. Here's one more that you can take home with you. If you haven't memorized Romans chapter 8, verse 28, it's a verse that every believer should know and memorize, that we should hide in our hearts. It helps us remember that God's in control, and it helps us position our hearts to give thanks like He has called us to. Romans 8:28, we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good, for those who are called according to His purpose. When we give thanks in everything, that thanksgiving, it reminds us of the sovereignty of God. It protects our hearts from self-pity. It protects our hearts from bitterness. It guards our hearts from pride. It battles any entitlement that might creep in. Giving thanks is good for us. It's good for us because God commanded it. Our circumstances do not determine our level of thankfulness. Now, another very natural question arises as we walk down that trail. How could I possibly continue to give thanks even in the current trial that I'm facing right now? Where should that thanksgiving even come from? Well, look back at the verse again. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God for you. Where? In Christ Jesus. That's our third point this morning. Thanksgiving flows from our relationship with Jesus Christ. The will of God for you in Jesus. Thanksgiving comes from a heart that knows and loves Jesus. We defined thanksgiving as recognizing and enjoying the goodness of God in all things. That's impossible to do. It's impossible to do outside of a relationship with God. And we see it here that a relationship with God is only possible through Christ Jesus. It's God's will that we enjoy and recognize His goodness that flows from our relationship with Christ. When we walk closely with Jesus, when we walk closely with Him, this just becomes who we are. We don't We don't have to fake a thankful heart. We can't help but have a thankful heart. To quote Piper one more time, he said it like this: true gratitude is not an exertion of the will. Meaning we're not gritting our teeth just trying to be thankful because it's Thanksgiving week. Not at all. He writes, it's an overflow of a sense of being treated better than we deserve. Think about that. What is Thanksgiving? It's an overflow of a sense of being treated better than we deserve. And listen, before God, we have been treated so much better than we deserve. But we can't forget that. Paul wrote another letter to the believers in this city. And 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 13 and 14, he tells us how good God's been. He says, we were beloved by God. We've been chosen by God for salvation. We're called through the gospel of Jesus Christ, and we're called so we could obtain the glory of Christ. God has been so, so good to us. And we could go on and on talking about, reading about, praising him for all that he has done for us. 1 John 3:1 says this: see the kind of love the Father has given to us. We should be called children of God. And we know that we're children of God. Why? Because of what Jesus did for us on the cross. It starts there. So if you're here this morning and you've never trusted in Jesus Christ as your salvator, as your Savior, understand that you cannot manufacture godly thanksgiving on your own. It flows from a relationship with Jesus. You need his forgiveness. You need him to bring you into the family of God. And it's available to you simply by placing your faith and trust in him and in him alone. And when we allow that truth to marinate in our hearts, it just bubbles up in our lives. And we can't help but say thank you. We can't help but recognize and enjoy the goodness of God, realizing that he has been way better to us than we could ever deserve. And everything this week, on Thursday, and every week, give thanks, enjoy, and recognize the goodness of God in all things. And this morning, we're going to do that as an act of worship together as a church family through the taking of the Lord's Supper. And so in just a minute, when we hold the bread in our hands, when we hold the juice in our hands, we get to do so with hearts that are just overflowing with gratitude and thanksgiving for what Jesus did on the cross for us so that we could become his children.
Thank you for joining us for Champion Forest Online. We hope today's message encouraged and inspired you. At Champion Forest, we focus on advancing the kingdom of God by making disciples, loving our community, and strengthening the church. We would love the opportunity to get to know you. To connect with us, just go to championforest.org/connect. We're so glad you joined us today, and we'll see you again next time.